Yeah, we meet here to interact, and you know that we're talking about prayer requests, and when you're way, way back there in this room, you may not be able to hear all those prayer requests, so it might be good to move forward anytime there's room, and get into the mix, and you guys are valuable, and your input needs to be right up in here. So I exhort you to be closer to the front in the future, then I won't have to move you. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. It's such a blessing to be here. It's just a great blessing. You know, anytime we do anything, usually we have a reason. You know, why did you come to church today? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you go to work? We have a reason. We have a goal or a purpose. And we have different ones in here may have hobbies. I happen to be a bowler. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but I'm a bowler. So Sister Eileen and I have something we're just totally contrast. She tries to shoot the lowest score she can when she golfs, and I try to shoot the highest score. But when I go out to bowl and I roll the ball, I want 10 pins to fall down. Y'all understand that? It's called a strike. That's what I want. And I want 12 of those in one game. That makes a 300, which is a perfect score. And that's what I press for every time I go bowl. That's what I want to do. So when I go to the bowling alley, I don't show up and say, I wonder what I'm here for. You know, what's my goal today? I know what my goal is, and I hope we know what our goal is here today. You know, when I bowl, I don't shoot a 300 very often. That's a pretty rare thing, and I don't strike. I only strike about 65% of the time when I'm bowling. The other 35%, I don't get all 10 of them. I have to knock them down on the second ball. But I just keep pressing on, doing the best I can. And you know, in our lives, whatever we do, we don't get it all right the first time. Maybe a percentage of the time we'll get part of it, but we're never going to get it all. If you think you know anything, the scripture says, if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet like he ought to know it. So you can just mark it down. If you think you've already got it all learned and you are already perfect, doing everything right, you're still missing some things. You don't quite know everything yet like you ought to. Now, some of you might remember when I used to know everything, back when I was a teenager. Yes? I really probably thought I knew everything when I look back on it. And the further I go, the more I realize, the less I know. And there's some things I know now that I didn't know then. And so, if I fall so short today, and there's things I know today that I didn't know back then, I certainly didn't know it all back in my teenage years. Oh, what darkness I was walking in back then. But the Lord's opened my eyes to see many glorious and wonderful things. And one thing he's shown me is what we ought to be pursuing and what we ought to be doing and what are we here for. I like what was said, Brother Joe, in your prayer, something about me putting my heart and my mind and my soul into this, because that just fits right down into what we ought to be doing. And the kernel of it is we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, all of our soul. Everything that we have, we should love him with everything. Why should we do that? Well, obviously, he's the creator. He's the author and finisher of all things. He's the one who has spoken, and it was done. He's commanded, and it stood fast. He's the reason the world is here. He's the reason we are here. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. He cares for us. He's given us everything that we have. It says in the Word in James, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, that's God, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. In other words, he never changes. He's perfect yesterday, today, and forever. And every good and perfect gift comes down from him to us. And so, really, we ought to obey what the scripture tells us to, like in Psalm 100. We need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, because he is worthy of all of our praise and thanksgiving. But you know, you have relationships here in this life, and sometimes you have friends, and you really appreciate your friends. And sometimes the more you get to know them, the more you appreciate them. Ever run across that? You know, I heard somebody at a wedding yesterday. They were talking about the groom who was getting married, and one of the young men stood up and said, "Now there was a time when I lost my mother," and this man, his name was Caleb. He said the the next morning after getting home late, next morning, right there on my doorstep was Caleb. And he had caught an airplane, a flight, and he flew in so he could be here with me. And he stayed and helped with all the preparations for the funeral and all things that had to be done. And he was with me the whole way through. And he was just saying how I cherish that memory. He's a loyal friend, and he's always there for me. Another one stood up and said something similar. It's just so great when you have friends that are loyal to you and they'll stand up with you. And then you have those memories, don't you? And then those friends are closer to you. They're dearer to you. I want you to know that you have a God that I just hope and pray you could get nearer to and get closer to. But you've got to understand and see the things he's done for you before you can start understanding how great he is and how wonderful, how loving he is. And then you can appreciate him even more as you learn more about him. I want you to run to the book of Joshua with me, please. You know that Moses wrote five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then right after that is Joshua. The reason Joshua's put in there, you know, historically, when Moses got to the end of his ministry to the children of Israel, Joshua took over. And Joshua had kind of been the right-hand man to Moses for a good long time, and kind of been in the shadows and been watching all the things that Moses did. And Joshua was spoken to by the Lord and given some instructions. And I want you to see this in the book of Joshua. And we're going to move fast today because there's so much good here. There is just so much that we need to see. So run with me. Joshua chapter 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Listen, these people loved Moses. They thought Moses was the end, almost at the beginning and the end of everything. And when Moses died, that had to be just a terrible thing. I remember when I was a kid reading through the Bible the first time, and I got to where Moses died, I cried. I thought, this is terrible. How could Moses die? You know, God does not need any of us, really. If we go off the stage, he can replace us with somebody else, and he can go on and do his purposes. And God is able to perform whatever he wants to perform with or without you or me. And so Moses, even though he was greatly used of God, he died, and now it's time for Joshua to take over. Now put yourself in Joshua's shoes. You've been the second in command, so to speak, or kind of in the shadows, kind of serving, just trying to help Moses, being a servant to Moses, sort of right there watching everything that happened, and now it's time for you to take over. That could be a fearful thing, to be in that position. And so the Lord has some things to say to Joshua. He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." How do you like those words, Brother Joe? I mean, if God were to tell you, "I'm going to be with you all the way, and I will never fail you, and I will never forsake you." Guess what? If you've read this word, you go through it, that's what he said to you. What he said to Joshua is the same thing he says to the believer today. Those whose hearts are perfect toward him, the scripture says, he shows himself strong in their behalf. Those who call upon him, guess what? He answers and he delivers. And you might say, "Well, I have argument with you, Brother Troy. I called and he didn't answer." I'll tell you, sometimes we call the wrong way. When we call having our selfish desires and wanting our selfish desires to be fulfilled and asking God to line up with our agenda, sometimes he says no. He says that's really not where we're heading, because God knows where we need to be heading. But if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things are going to be added unto us. We'll ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. If you read that in context in Scripture, sometimes you read that and it just doesn't make sense. You mean if I ask what I want, the Lord will give it to me? Yes, if it lines up with seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you're in the right attitude and your heart is perfect toward Him, and you're then asking for things that line up with His will, aren't you? 1 John, you get over there, he says, we know if we pray according to His will, we have what we ask. Don't you want to be praying according to His will? Of course. It makes no sense to pray against His will. That's like me going bowling and trying not to strike. That would look really ridiculous. You know, that was, or Eileen going golfing and trying to hit the ball as many times as she can without getting it in the hole. Wouldn't people laugh at you? Well, we don't want to pray against God's will. We want to pray according to God's will. We want to know what His will is. We want to know the mind of God and what He would have us pray for. So He told Joshua, he said here, as you know, I'm not going to fail you or forsake you, but look what he said next. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I love that kind of a preview, because Joshua knows they're going to go in and possess this land. And God's saying, you will be successful, and you will divide this land up amongst these people. And so it's already been said by God, you will be successful. That's a good reason for him to go in strength, knowing God already said it's going to work out. It's all going to be okay. So he shouldn't be fearful at all, should he? He should just go and do what he's been told to do. And guess what? In our lives, we have a very similar thing, because the Lord is on our side. In Romans 8, it talks about how that He loved us even before the world began, how He's called us and justified us, and the glorification even that Jesus said when He was praying in John 17, He said, I have glorified them. He talked about those that He had walked with. There's a sense in which the God's glory has even been put on us in regeneration. Did you know that? There is a glorification of us, a sense of that, and it's going to be even greater when we get to heaven with the immortal glory there. But just look what He's done for us and what He's promised. And He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You go on and you head in the way that God would have you to go, and He will not fail you, He will not leave you, He will not forsake you, and He will let you know you're going to be successful. You're going to finish the work. Some people count success as doing what they want to do. True success is doing what God wants you to do. And you want to know where the great peace and joy is? It's not in doing what your flesh wants. It's doing what God wants. You're going to find that that is the greatest place to be. Well, let's look and see what he says next. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God gives us the law so that we can prosper. It's like, have you ever bought something and it did not have an instruction manual, and you're trying to make it work, and it's just so frustrating. Maybe you got it at a garage sale and you can't make the thing work. Isn't it great to have an instruction manual? Oh, man, it helps so much. In fact, there's been times I go on the internet and I look up an instruction manual to go with whatever the thing is that I'm having trouble with, and then I can read it and I can find out how to fix things. Well, God's given us an instruction manual. It's right here. And this instruction manual lets us know the way we should walk, the things we should do. And we so often want to argue with God. You know, God says there's a certain thing that we need to do. I'll use something. I hope there's no thieves in here that are just on a routine basis going out stealing things. Y'all all look pretty honest to me. But God said, thou shalt not steal. And sometimes people want to argue with God. Well, you know, that's just a little thing, and those people don't really need it. Have you ever had any of these scammers call you on the telephone? They're trying to scam you out of money. There's some in these countries way off around the world that have this idea, the same idea that even a section of our people here in this country have, and that is that we have so much riches, and that the riches we have obtained are just There's just more than we should have, and we're too big for our britches. And these people, they think they're okay. They think it's a good thing for them to call us and try to scam us out of our money because we've got too much, and we ought to just be ashamed of ourselves for all the stuff that we have. And they have no clue how much people have worked for the stuff they have. They have no clue at all. But they look at the United States as this evil, oppressive country that has been given. They don't realize God has blessed this country. Okay? God has really blessed us. But they think that we've got all this stuff and they ought to have it. And they feel justified in taking it away. And so God says, thou shalt not steal. And other people say, well, no, I think it's okay to steal. You've heard of Robin Hood. You know, they say you rob from the rich to give to the poor. That's kind of their idea. Here, we are so blessed. Do you realize that the most impoverished people here in the United States are in the top percentages of people around the world as far as wealth? And if you don't know anything about that, talk to somebody that's been around the world and been to places where there's true poverty. And you go to places in these third world countries, and the rich man lives like the poor man here. We are greatly blessed. We should be thanking God for that. Well, let's go on. He said, observe to do. Why? So you'll prosper. Now look at the next thing. And there's so much. I need to quit being so nitpicky on all this. I need to move faster. But this next one, this is so important. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, if you understand that God has written this for us, you know that, you're going to want to go and find out what did God say. It's like if a really, really dear friend of yours, or maybe even your spouse who's on a journey, or maybe someone that you're courting and hoping to marry, you get a letter from this person. What do you do when you get this letter in the mail? Do you set it on the shelf here and say, well, you know, when I get time, I'm going to get around to reading that. And then maybe 6 weeks later, you open it. Let me see some heads moving here. That's not what you do? Yeah, you shake your head. No, you're going to open up the letter and look at it because you want to see what has been written to me. You want to know what this person thinks and what they're feeling and what they're trying to communicate to you. Right? Thank you. I like that head shake. Amen. I've just got to make sure people are awake. You know, that's right. We got it. Okay. This is what he's saying. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You need to be actually speaking it. And it's not to depart out of your mind. You should meditate in it day and night so you can observe to do according to what's written in it. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. And then he just comes right back to nail it down with this next verse. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. One thing Shanna can always remember, the Lord said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. That's right. He's always going to be there. And you know, there's a time when your friends leave you. There's a time when your spouse leaves you. You know, we don't all live here forever. That time comes. But the Lord will never, ever leave you. Wow. What a blessing. Move over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Move back to the left. Deuteronomy chapter 6. He's been telling Joshua, I want you to remember the things that my servant Moses said. I want you to meditate on these things. I want you to observe to do these things. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you to take Deuteronomy 6 and take it home and meditate on it. But look what it says here in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Would you please just put that down in your mind? There's only one God. The scripture teaches our one God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And that's something that's above our understanding. We cannot comprehend it, But that's what the Bible teaches all the way through. And you need to understand that's what the Bible teaches. There's only one God. There's not many gods. But listen to what he says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Do you see what they're saying? What the Lord's saying here? We should love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And we should tell our children they ought to do the same too. You might say, well, I think I just want to wait. I want to wait and see if maybe my children want to serve God or not. And no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You need to tell them that God has made them because it's true. Do you want to lie to your kids? Hey, Daddy, tell me about God. Well, you're going to say, I don't know. You're going to have to decide for sure if that's true or not when you get older. No, don't lie to your children. God is, and he created all things. And he ought to be worshipped and praised. And he ought to be listened to. And he ought to be served. I tell you what, somebody said, well, I just don't know if my children, you know, if they're all going to know the Lord or not. I'll tell you what, it won't hurt anybody to obey what God has said any more than if you open up your manual for your car and it tells you to change the oil every 6,000 miles. Do it. You'll be glad you did. Listen, you do what God said, you'll be glad you did. Just mark it down. And if you raise up your children that way, and maybe they never love God, maybe they never serve him, but you raise them up that way and they'll be better citizens and you'll be a whole lot happier for raising them up that way. Because, you know, the way you raise a child often affects the way they are in their older age. There's lots of people that don't, they say they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they remember how they were raised and they still can be, you know, good people to some extent. I know Jesus said, don't call anyone good. There's none good but one. But in a relative sense, we know what we're talking about. Somebody who is a good citizen. And we ought to be teaching each other that. But we've got to remember to share the truth with our children, with our families, with our friends. There is one God, and he ought to be worshipped and praised. And our goal is to serve him with everything we have. The scripture even says our bodies don't belong to us. You know who our bodies belong to? They belong to him. The scripture makes it clear that we belong to him. And so because of that, we should glorify him, praise him, honor him with our bodies in every way that we can. Now you take Deuteronomy 6. There's so much good in it. And please take it home and meditate on it. I want you to enjoy meditating in that. Go to Psalm 33 with me. I mentioned earlier that you kind of have to know somebody before you can really, really follow what their desires are. Before you can really, really love somebody, you kind of need to know them, you know? And before they become dear to you, you have to have some experiences. You got to know something about what they've done and who they are. I would tell you that you ought to read Psalms every day if you can, somewhere. Pick up one of them. But go to Psalm 33. And let's learn a little bit about our God. We've been told to love him with all of our heart, soul, and spirit, and mind, and strength. Let's look at this. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you like good stuff and good things? Do you like good people? Do you like someone who speaks the truth? Do you like somebody you can count on? Listen, God is perfect in every way. And he's talking to us here and letting us know about how God is righteous and he loves righteousness and judgment. And the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Listen to what he says further. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Now that's somebody I want to know. He just spoke and he said, be, light be. And there was light. And he put all these stars out there. And oh, it's so wonderful to even just study the stars. If you study the stars and you look and see how big our earth is compared to our sun, and then if you shrink the sun down really tiny, 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 and look at how little it is compared to another huge star, and then you shrink that down real tiny, 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 and look at how that compares to a galaxy, and then you shrink that big galaxy down to a real tiny size, and look at how that compares to the how many galaxies there are out there that they haven't even found all of them. And how many stars? You can't talk about billions or trillions or quadrillions or quintillions or whatever tillions you can come up with. You cannot express how many stars there are. There are so many stars way out there. It is just so immense, so huge, and so beautiful. And yet God calls every one of those stars by name. Now that's the kind of God I want to get to know. He knows every hair on my head. There's not as many as there used to be, but he knows every single one of them. Individually, if one falls out, he knows which one fell out. He knows every cell of my body. That's somebody that I want to get to know better. And if he has thoughts toward me, if he has thoughts toward me of love, of care, I'd want to know about that too, wouldn't you? I'd want to read about that. I'd want to hear about that. And maybe we'll see that in a minute, but let's read just a little bit more. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Would you take Psalm 34 also and 33 and take those home and meditate on them? You've got Deuteronomy 6. And Sunday afternoon, there's nothing to do. Cowboys aren't going to win anyway. So you got Deuteronomy 6. You got Psalm 33. Well, they might. I know they might. But Psalm 33, Psalm 34. Open that up like a letter that you'd put on your mantle that came in yesterday. You didn't have time to read it, but you just can't wait to get to it. Psalm 33 and 34. And you'll just see. This mighty God is one that we need to love and we need to serve. As you read this in Psalms and have this minister to you as you read those things. Go to Exodus 15. There was something that happened. Really, I'd love to just go through all those Psalms with you, but I don't think it would be good for lunch to be missed today, and I know that might run a little too long. So look at Exodus 15. We've got here Moses and the children of Israel singing unto the Lord. Why? They just crossed over the Red Sea, and the Lord had opened the sea up so they could get across. We're talking about a great and mighty deliverance. And this is a deliverance. This is comparative to us when we're called out of sin, regenerated by the Lord, and we come to know him and to see him for who he is. We've been delivered out of Egypt into the promised land. So this is a picture of that. As the Lord opens up the waters and he carries us through, and then he covers up our enemies. What a glorious thing. You can read it over in Jude, how the Lord saved the people out of Egypt. And compare it with 2 Peter later in 2 Peter chapter 2. And you'll see it's talking about, it's a parallel of our experience. So, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. But he's quickened you. He brought you out of Egypt. What for? Why did he bring them out of Egypt? So they could serve him. So they could love him with all their heart, soul, and strength. That's why he brought them out. And he's done that for you. Listen to how excited they were about this. They said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, God is already exalted, and we can't really lift him up any further. But in our heart and mind, we can exalt him. We can leave the highest place for him. And that's what this is talking about, to say that this is where I reserve. This is what I reserve for my God. Maybe the first time we get up in the morning, the first thing we think about, the first thing we do is we call on his name. We pray into him. We look into his word. And we exalt him in our daily lives. Well, he goes on and talks about all that God did. Take Exodus 15 and read all that and look at all the wonderful things God did. And I want you to consider, what has God done for you in your life? You look back, you know, we can look back and say, well, I've had all kinds of troubles, all kinds of difficulties. Do you realize that God has allowed difficulties and problems in your life to cause you to be pulled even closer to him? You go through the scriptures and read, and you'll find out that these things really are to, well, let me just let Solomon bind it up for you over there in Ecclesiastes. He said, in the day of prosperity, be glad or rejoice. I can agree with that one, right? In the day of prosperity, just be excited and rejoice. But then he says, in the day of adversity, consider. And have you ever done that? In the day of adversity, have you ever considered? Many times. Why did this happen to me? How come I'm going through this? Where is my God? Did he leave me? Is he clean gone forever? Has he forgotten me? Have you ever considered the day of adversity? And Solomon tells us the answer. He says, God has set the one over against the other. The one is the prosperity. The other one is the adversity. And he says, here's why. Here's the way he works. He says, to the end. In other words, to the end means for this purpose. We don't talk that way anymore. But God has set prosperity over against adversity for this purpose, that man should find nothing after him. What do you seek in your life? God. Do you seek anything else? No. I find nothing after him. He's my all in all. He is everything to me. I tell you what, I've sung that song since I was a little kid, How I Love the Great Redeemer. Y'all know that song? And it was so fun to sing. How many know that song? Raise your hand if you know that song. You know the chorus? He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. And I've sung that my whole life. And since I learned it as a wee one, as a little one, the words got imprinted on my brain, and I could just sing them without even processing them. And one day I was singing that and started realizing what those words say, and I was about ready to fly away when I saw those. How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. Where is it? Give me a book. Find that song for me. I need that. Yeah, bring it up here. What is it? With what joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Somebody tell me what number that is. Because I want to look at these words. 595. Now, we're not going to sing it right now, but maybe when we're through, we will. Just look at this, these words. And if you've never stopped, maybe you got caught up in memorizing them too and not thought of them. Just look at what's going on here. With what joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Till my earthly life is ended, I will send songs above. Then, beside the crystal sea, more and more my soul shall be praising Jesus and his love. What am I going to do my whole life? I'm just going to be praising God and sending songs above to him until I die, and then I'm going to keep on singing in glory. Now, that's good stuff. Go to chapter or verse 2, chapter 2 of 595. Verse 2, he hath purchased my redemption, rolled my burden of sin away, and is walking on beside me, growing dearer day by day. That's why I sing his praises. That is why joy is mine. That's why forevermore on the everlasting shore I shall sing of love divine. You like those words? Those are good, aren't they? Glory be to him forever. Endless praises to Christ the Lamb. He has filled my life with sunshine. He has made me what I am. Oh, that everyone would know him. Oh, that all would adore. Oh, that all would trust the love of the mighty friend above. and be his forevermore. In the chorus, he is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Life and light and joy is he, the precious friend who died for me. Amen. Last visit to Psalms. Go to Psalm 103 right quick. Psalm 103. I hope you're starting to see a little bit in God's word. I'm just barely cracking the surface. But Psalm 103 says to bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. And talks about all those benefits. He says in verse 3, he forgives all thine iniquities. He heals thy diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He crowneth you with, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you realize when you have something to eat, you should praise God for it and thank him? Because when they plant stuff in the ground and it grows, you know why it grows? It grows because God's blessing. That's why. He holds all things in this world together. It's by him that all things consist, according to the word of God. And it says he opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. So anything that gets to eat, it's because God has blessed that thing to get to eat. If you have something to eat, that's why you've heard people say we ought to return thanks. God has blessed you with that food, and you need to be thankful for it. And I tell you, it could be a whole lot worse, folks. There are people who have gone days and weeks, and maybe even months, with hardly anything to eat. And we are so, so soft. We are so spoiled as a people. We have no idea. We cannot even begin to understand just how soft and spoiled we are and how thankful we should be for all the things that God's blessed us with. You know, he let down the hedge a little bit back in 2001, wasn't it? September 11th, was that the year, 2001, when the towers fell? Terrible thing. It woke people up for about 6 months, and then they forgot again. Just plumb forgot. You know, we ought to be thanking God for protection, be thanking God for safety, thanking God for health. You might say, well, I had a heart attack. I praise God that I'm able to do. I'm more thankful today that I can stand here and do this than I ever had been before that. I went through times of congestive heart failure where I could hardly breathe. I had to sit up all night long. I couldn't lie down flat because I couldn't breathe. I mean, that was bad. But you know what? It drew me closer to God. And I'm more thankful today for what he's done in my life and what he's done for me and the inheritance that's laid up for me above. I am so full of thanksgiving, more so because of the road that we've been down, because he walked with me. He said, when you pass through the fire, he said, I'll be with you. And through the waters, I'll be with you. I'll be there. Psalm 23, the one we all love, says, even when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, what? He's right there. He's right there to comfort us and to guide us. Psalm 103, listen to this one verse. This is another one you can take home. You got Psalm 33 and 34. Now throw 103 in it and go meditate on this. It's worth it, believe me. But let's drop down to verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Do you realize we're just like grass? We grow up, we wither, we're gone. And everybody forgets us. If the world's still standing 200 years from now, there's not going to be anybody walking around thinking about you or me. Amen. You understand that? But God thinks about us. We're so insignificant. If our earth is insignificant compared to the universe, how insignificant are we compared to the universe? How small? But you know what? in Psalm 139, you can just mark that down in your notes. He talks about how precious are thy thoughts concerning me. The Lord has more thoughts concerning you than you could number. And you think, well, how? There's billions of people. How could that be possible? He's a mighty God. When you get a hold of how mighty our God is and how much he cares for you and how many thoughts he has toward you, even to the point that he sent his son to die on the cross, what's that all about? What is that all about? You know, God is holy and we aren't. God is good and we're not. And for us to dwell with him or to have fellowship with him, the problem, the sin problem, has got to be dealt with. And Jesus agreed that he would be born of Mary, that he would live a perfect life, a sinless life, and that he would go to the cross, and the Father would then impute all of our sins unto him. He agreed to atone for those sins on the cross and to suffer what we deserved. And he could do that. Do you understand how? No, I don't either. But that's what he did, so that we now can come boldly to God's throne in the name of Jesus Christ. And he'll say, come on in, my precious little one. And he does not look at our sin anymore, but he sees us as white as snow. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what he's done? Does that make you shouting happy and want to praise him? If it doesn't, probably you just don't have any understanding of it. Maybe God hasn't revealed it to you yet. Maybe you haven't had your Damascus Road experience yet. I pray that someday God will open your eyes. If you don't love this word, if you can put it on your mantle for 6 weeks or 6 months and forget about it, and you don't need to read this, that's a sad place to be. I want you to know there is so much good in here. You won't know it, though, until God gives you that eyes to see it. But you know, sometimes God gives us eyes to see, and we're still stubborn. And we set it aside, and we don't avail ourselves of the things that we have. And we just suffer for it. We get cold. It's like if you just quit coming to church, you know? Anybody ever done that? Just go for months and months and just don't come to church, and you kind of get cold. You kind of shrivel up. We need each other. We need the encouragement. And folks, you need God's word. Please go to it. Well, let's get to the New Testament. What do we know about the love of God? 1 John, you see, oh yeah, we got to wind up. 1 John, y'all are just very patient. Hang in there. I'm not going to be too much longer. But come over here to the little Johns right before Revelation. And everybody's heard of John 3:16. You know, John 3:16 talks about how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And that's a beautiful verse. But you know, there's a 1 John 3:16 that's kind of similar. I want you to see this one. 1 John 3:16. So that's the Johns right over here before Jude in Revelation. Look at what it says. It says here, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, I didn't get over into what Moses said after loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength. He said, and your neighbor. Do you know that? It's over in the old law. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And one man asked Jesus once, he said, so who's my neighbor? And Jesus told him the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Who is your neighbor? He's the one close to you. He's the one you happen to pass by. He's the one that God in his providence allows you to rub shoulders with. That's who your neighbor is. You don't pick and choose, but you should love your neighbor, those that are close by. You should love everyone in your church, and you should love people around you. What does it mean to love them? And why should we do it? Well, God's told us to. And you know, at the very end, when the Lord gathers the sheep and the goats, you know that story in Matthew 24 or 25, and he's got some on the right hand, some on the left, and he talks about how to these that are on his right hand. He said, when I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was in prison, you came to see me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they're like, when did we do this? We don't remember any of this. And he says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. How do you love God? How do you love God today? How do you serve God? Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these. You see what we're here for? The scripture says, by love, we should serve one another. This is how we serve God. This is how we love God. Oh, yes, you still need your private devotions, and you still need to meditate and pray. And that's part of how you love God. But I'll tell you what, if you say you love God whom you have not seen, and you don't love your brother whom you have seen, you're just a liar. That's what the scripture teaches. We need to love one another and serve one another and pray for one another and exhort one another. The one another's in scripture. That's another study. Go look up in your concordance or your little Bible search thing on your computer. One another. What should we do? One another. There's about 15 or 20 of them. You can probably think of more of them that we're supposed to. Building up one another on our most holy faith also. We should be praying that we would all grow in him. So let's end up with what Jesus says. If you'll go with me, I think I want to run to Matthew. I'm trying to remember which one would be the best one to go to. Because this man came and asked Jesus, he said, what is the greatest commandment? And I'm not remembering exactly where it is. Which one is it? See, we ought to help each other. Thank you, Brother Ross. I appreciate it. Here's this lawyer tempting him with a question. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what should we be about doing? What should we be doing? Loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Jesus said this is the first and great commandment. And you should be loving your neighbor as yourself. He says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. I tell you what, if you do those two, you'll pretty well, you'll catch all the rest. Because if you're loving your neighbor, are you going to steal from him? If you're loving your neighbor, are you going to commit adultery? No. That breaks up families. That's not good. If you love your neighbor, are you going to be out pursuing things for your fleshly desires that might hurt other people? No. If you love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, that covers it. You've got your work cut out for you. Now, the Lord has one thing. I want y'all to consider this. I don't have time to go look at all the scriptures, but you get over in Ephesians 5. He talks about how that husbands should love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. How does God love us? How does Christ love us? He gave himself for us. So we have the ability now to practice loving God by loving others. And one of the major places is husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives. And I don't know if this is, I'll tell you what, I'm not the husband I ought to be. I don't know if you are the husbands that are here today. I've heard people say, well, you know, I married this woman, but she just didn't turn out the way that I expected her to be, and we're just not all that compatible anymore. Have y'all ever heard that? Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? And I just don't feel fulfilled in this. You know what God says? Husbands, love your wives. How would you like it if one day Jesus said, you know what? I'm just tired of old Brother Joe and Brother David. They just don't please me as much as they used to. And I think I'm just going to drop them off. I'm just going to forget them. He doesn't do that, does he? He's coming back for us. And his love's not conditional. And this is a two-way street, husbands toward your wives, wives toward your husbands. You're supposed to love. You made a covenant. You're supposed to love one another with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And your greatest purpose in life, if you're obedient to God's word, to love him with all your heart, love your spouse, love your children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, love your neighbor. Has anybody got something they can take home and do now? You got your hands full? If you're loving God, loving your spouse, loving your children, loving your neighbors, go search out the scriptures and see if what I say is so. This is what we ought to be up and about. This is what we ought to be doing. I know some of you may have broken marriages, and I'm not trying to put a point of finger at you or anything. I'm not your judge at all in that. And life is hard. You know, bad things happen. But what we do is we pick up where we are now. Where are you today? What can we do today? And how can we love God with everything we have, all of our strength? May God bless you to do so. Can we sing How I Love the Great Redeemer to close, Brother Gary?